your children to have a better life than yours was. All right? How to have a better life than yours was. Now, most parents want that. Most parents want their children to have a better life than what they did. And therein, as a parent, what I encourage you to do is to learn from your past. I have two warnings in this respect. Number one, don't read into your child or children your past, your desires that you had, your youthful attitudes and actions that you had. Okay? Warning number one, don't read into your children your past. Warning number two, don't overlook their wrong attitudes, actions, and directions. Now, obviously, what's needed is a balance here. A balance between not reading into your kids your past. In other words, your son or daughter, they say something and it may cause a flashback to you of something you thought or said or remind you of something you did. Be careful that you don't read into their statement something that you did, because they may have nothing of that sort in mind. But then the other side of the coin is, because parents don't want their kids to be like they were, sometimes then they'll overlook their wrong attitudes and their actions and their directions because maybe their parents came down hard on them and now they don't want to come down hard on their kids. Balance. In so many things in life, balance is what's needed. The things you did. Thank you, Katie.
That's
fresh. Oh, that's for you. This is mine. All right. That's, again, for those of you watching and live streaming, Katie is one of our young people that brings water to whoever the preacher is. What's that?
You were a wood drawer of water.
Yes. And anyway, there was already a cup here. The things you did, the places you went, the kind of people you ran with, don't let your child go down that path of life.
Amen.
It may, you know, we could talk about music. We could talk about dress standards or lack thereof. In other words, for the girls, we would often refer to the fact of immodest dressing. If you have a daughter, don't let her dress like you did, if that was a problem for you. Don't let your kids talk like you talked. You mean how do I talk? Well, did you swear? Did you cuss? Don't let your kids do that. And, you know, there's other things that you, what, maybe the jokes that you told, okay? Maybe just the way you talked in the sense of a smart mouth, okay? Don't let your kids do that. You need to balance between what your childhood was and what their childhood is and see that you are pointing them in the right direction. Now you can do that. You can help to do that by helping your children by consistently and constantly pointing them in the right direction. Now that seems like an obvious, doesn't it? Well, what would you expect a preacher to say other than that we want to point your kids in the right direction? But listen, not just outside the home, even more so inside the home, okay? In the home, set the example for them. And I'm going to share six things and make some comments as I go. Number one, in your home, teach them to say please, thank you, and you're welcome. Got that? Please,
right.
Thank you, you're welcome. Make them respond. Now, if you could see my notes, make would be in quotes. In other words, you follow through when you teach them that, but listen to me. Don't forget to say thank you. That's not the way to make them do it. I didn't hear you say please. That also is not the way to make them. It's just kindly, in normal manner, to say, don't forget to say thank you. Okay? And so, please, thank you, and you're welcome. You set the example for them. You see, you set the example because you say please. You're going to ask them to... The trash needs to be taken out. Don't forget to empty the trash. You want to set an example? Jimmy, would you please empty the trash? Say, well, it's Jimmy's job. Yeah, and it's your job to teach them kindness and demonstrate to them manners. And you'll do a whole lot more by demonstrating it than by lecturing them.
That's right.
And so, please, thank you. So then they took the trash out. They bring the trash can back in and they throw it in the general area of where it sets. No. Now, you don't walk over there, grab them by the ear, and see if you can tear it off. You just remind them that's not where it goes. Did you hear how I said that? That's not where it goes. That's not where it goes. And then they respond to you in a similar tone of voice about something they're asked, and you want to lecture them then about being respectful? You see, respect goes to young people as well as from young people. Please, thank you, you're welcome. Second, number two, in the home, respectful talk to your spouse or with your spouse. Speaking to them respectfully, kindly. You're teaching when you do that.
That's right.
And third is respectful talk to your children. Respectful talk to your children. They're only 6. They're only 12. Why, they might even be 18. Doesn't matter. You need to speak respectfully with your children. Now, I can imagine by now somebody is saying, did you always do these things you're telling us? No. Not always. And that's one of the reasons why I'm trying to get your attention to do so that you don't live with the regrets that I live with. But let me continue. I did not always do these things, but Pat did.
Amen.
The kid's mother did. And you want to know something? To this day, she has a deeper, closer, more substantial relationship with our children than what I can. They love me. They respect me. They've accepted my apologies for my failures. But even though I did the right thing in apologizing for my failures, you want to know something? It can't establish what had to be established all through those years of raising them.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what age your children are. Boy, Charity and Sam, you're fortunate. You're at the very, very beginning. Please take to heart some of these things, all of these things, okay? Because it'll make the world a difference. And someday when I'm dead and in the ground, you may think of something, and if you've been doing it, you might just thank God that you heard it and did it. Now you say, hey, my kids, they're getting up there in age. I know. So don't waste any time. Don't waste any time. Give whatever apologies need to be given. But listen to me. Listen to me. Don't apologize if you're not going to change.
Mom.
Because it's going to work against you.
That's right.
Just go ahead and change in that case. And then after you've changed and they see the change, then apologize. I remember I'd come home from conferences that I went to, pastors' conferences and Bible conferences and whatever. I'd come home from them and I'd be so convicted about things that were preached, and I'd come home and I'd tell Pat, and the first couple of times she was pleased to hear it. I can hear it. I can hear it yet to this day. When I started to talk and she said, don't say it if you're not going to live it. And your kids may not hold their hand up and say to you, don't say it if you're not going to live it. But they're thinking that. They're thinking, I heard this before. And it didn't make any difference. So that's why I say just go ahead and change. And then when you know you've got a change established, then apologize to them. And it'll make it more meaningful. Respectful talk with and to your children. You see, I was of the sort, I'm the father. That's his job. Why do I need to ask him to do his job? That's his job. Do your job. That's what a father does. He tells you, do your job. Now, what I just said is true, but it doesn't establish the relationships that we want to have with our children. Number four. Do not permit and put up with back talk. Okay? Do not permit back talk. The solution is not a backhand. The solution is not to become overbearing because you're the adult. But don't permit back talk. Just establish it. We won't have that. We don't need that. If you don't care for something I've said, if you don't agree with something that I've said, let me know that. We'll sit down and talk about it. Now, the first time you would say that, especially to a junior age and definitely to a teenager, you're going to have to wait till they get up off of the floor in order to be able to describe to them what you mean. But that can happen. How do I know it can happen? You probably guessed it by now. That's how their mother interacted with them. No back talk. Number five. Oh, and this is another one. Ho, 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 ho. No pouting. Whether they're three or eight or 16. That doesn't mean after 16 they don't pout. They do. It's just I picked out some numbers, okay? No pouting. You're preparing them for life. You're preparing them for when they work. You're preparing them for when they find the boyfriend, the girlfriend. And, you know, they bring them home and they interact. And then you hear your daughter and how, you know, Bill says this and then she sits here, oh, I don't know if that's what we really want to do. And you say, wow, goodness, Henrietta, why would you say that to him? Because she learned she could do that. It's just a teenage version of pouting. In our children's clubs, the kids used to love to sing the Poochie Lip Disease song. And it's a humorous song, and it makes a point. But the Poochie Lip, at whatever age it is anything but humorous.
That's right.
And number six, the sixth thing to establish in your home is quick obedience. Now, please remember, you're not a drill sergeant. So when we say quick obedience, now I've heard it around here, okay? And I've heard it around here where a parent tells a child something to do and the child doesn't respond the way they should and you'd think a drill sergeant just walked in. Matter of fact, when I was able to be a participating teacher at the Good Shepherd Baptist Mission missionary training school, one of the things that we used to stress to, particularly the fathers, but even some mothers, but we would stress to the parents, missionary parents, you establish obedience by your children in the home. You establish the right kind of talk and interaction with an adult in your home. Because what we would see, and very possible it's been seen here, missionaries come in, they're coming early because they're going to be setting things up. Their kids have been in the car for 4 hours, now they're out of the car. Obviously they want to move. And so then some church people start to come and the missionary kid is doing some things that the parent knows it's better for them to not do, in especially a church building. And so then the missionary parent comes down hard on the child. You know better than to act like that in church. Now you come sit down here and don't get up until I tell you you can. Father feels so good. He's in control. No, he's not in control. As a matter of fact, all he's doing is evidencing that in the car and in the home, they're not in control. Because if they were, it's natural for kids, 4 hours in a car, it's natural they want, you know, and the younger they are, you know, this makes a great circle here, okay? We understand that's not the way you want any child to be running around. Got that, children? You know, missionaries don't want to, I understand they don't want their children running around like that. But then all they should have to do is say, Mary, not now. If you want to run, go outside. And in about that tone of voice. They don't have to be a drill sergeant to them. They're not evidencing control. They're showing their lack of control. And so it is, even with church families. When they have to come down that hard on a child, they're just showing that at home the kid gets and does what he wants.
That's right.
Now, we're talking a bit about character here, and I'm going to talk about this more, I think, next week, but I'll determine that next week. Character. I had an example of character that I pointed out at the library where I work, okay? We need to replace the hot water tank. We've got an excellent plumber, and he came in, and we were talking about the hot water tank and the situation, and he said to me, Roger, he said, hot water tanks, they're just about double what they have been price-wise, if you can even find them. He was hoping to find the exact same make and model, so he'd just have to, you know, unscrew things and hook it back up. But he couldn't. But he's capable to install a different, it's a shorter one. So then we went, I said, well, listen, let's go in. He said, I don't have this written up, but it's going to cost about X number of dollars. He said, I said, well, listen, let's go into the director and you can at least tell her about it. So we get in there and I introduce, now she knew him, but I introduced the subject to her and I said, he told me that it's double what they used to be. And immediately he spoke up and said, well, near to double. Okay. And then we went into the bookkeeper and we talked same subject with the bookkeeper. And I said the same thing. He said that a hot water tank's going to cost about double what it used to be, or I said double what it used to be, and he said, no, almost double. Now, after he left, I spoke to the bookkeeper, and I said, did you hear the character of that man? He could have left it stand at what I said it was double, but he corrected it, near double. He corrected it the first time with the director when he said near double. You say, well, near double, double. The man, it would have been in his favor for his final bid if we were under the impression that the hot water tank was double. Now, I don't know what the difference was because we didn't go into that aspect. But I said to her, and I plan to point the same thing out to the director, and that is a matter of character. He wanted what he said to be accurate and to be quoted accurately. Now, Christian character should exceed common good character. That was good character on his part. And Christian character should exceed that. It should be that. A Christian in a similar place should want to be quoted accurately. And but as Christians, how many times do we not care about such, well, it's not a big deal. Well, you know, it maybe isn't going to make a difference in the price of tea. I don't know what that's supposed to mean anyway, but it's commonly said. But Christian character should exceed. It can overlap. It can be like common good character, but it can go beyond it, should go beyond it. Now, you say, well, this is all sounds good, but I haven't heard one Bible verse yet, Pastor. I come to this church to learn the Bible. I haven't heard one. Just wait a minute. Don't get in a... Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. This applies to families. Any kind of instruction or command that you see given in the Bible that we think of as between people, between church people, between adults, just break it down, apply it to family. If ye would that your son or your daughter would act in a certain way to you, then you also should act that way to them. Now that is definitely a paraphrase of that verse. But it covers it. You see, and that's what it means to live the scriptures. That's what it means to apply the scriptures in our home. One last passage, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to start at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, however we would normally think to apply these verses, in whatever kind of situation we would normally say that these would apply, I'm 99.44% sure we wouldn't think of it as in the home. When he says forbearing one another, forgiving one another.
Come on.
Parent to child. Hey, and children, to your parent as well.
Yep.
Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, hey, young people, have you ever just been so ticked off and upset with your mother or father or both of them that you were cross-eyed? Okay, you just couldn't stand it. If any man have a quarrel against any, that would be child to parent or parent to child. Do you have a quarrel against each other? Here's how you handle that. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's in the home. That's in the family. We have got to get these scriptures applied to our daily living. Now, I know it's going to shock you, but there are some times that husbands and wives don't always agree. And because they don't always agree, they can sometimes express it in ways that shouldn't be expressed. But even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgive each other. Say, well, I'll forgive him when he forgives me. Oh, that's going to get you far. That's what's gotten you in the mess that you might be in. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. See, I don't know what we normally think those verses are for. What kind of situations they normally would be applied to. But between a husband and wife, between a parent and a child and a parent, that's what they're to apply to. We've got this. I don't know what it is we have. I just know that it ain't working.
Come on.
Look at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Ha ha ha. Boy, every kid ought to read that one. As a matter of fact, you ought to type that out in 16-point type and put it on the door of your kid's room. But then give them the option of the next verse, okay? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. If you'd like your kid to have that put on his door, then why would it not be all right to have verse 21 put on dad's door?
Come on.
Got it? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And again, I don't understand what that always means. But you know what it means in general. If it goes one way, it can go another way. For fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I'm telling you, Dad, do it right to start with. Do it right. Make it right. Or you'll discourage your child. You're going to wonder why they don't want to follow the Lord whom you love so much. You see, as an adult, you've learned how to separate out certain things. And you've learned how to apply the Christian life in this area and in this area, and then how to just sort of hedge on it in another area. And we've learned how to do this. And then we've learned how to convince ourselves it's okay. You want to know something? Kids aren't that fancy. They see black and white.
Yeah.
Now they'll get older and they'll learn that there's grays in life. But hopefully they won't learn that there are grays of inconsistency. And what happens when we provoke our children to anger? Oh, they're not going to show the anger. They know better. They're likely to get a backhand. They'll for sure get a tongue lashing. They might have to go to bed without supper. All of those kind of things. Okay? But they're angry, lest they be discouraged. We ought to encourage our children, not discourage them. Listen, do it right, or I guarantee you, you'll regret it. You'll regret it, I guarantee you. Father in heaven, I pray that these comments will be of help tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Master, if I can have 1 second.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait until after that was off.
Yeah.